This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Tuesday. The segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by the Golf Mart. Again, thanks to everyone who called in, talking some Padres baseball. That discussion will continue, probably for the next few weeks at least.
What do you mean weeks? We're going to be talking for like 6 months.
Well, I mean, the Padres conversation never stops. The tone of what happened at some point runs out, and you have to start looking ahead to what's next. But until we know who's going to be the manager next year and what changes that AJ Preller is going to make, what the payroll is going to be like, right now we're still in blame assigning mode for a failed season.
Well, did we take our part in it for not being harder on them?
Yes, we did. No, we didn't.
Well, we should.
We probably should. But, it's always the media's fault.
Always.
Our next guest knows that, I think, pretty well.
Yes, she does.
I think fair enough to call her Brenda. I heard a chuckle.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just listening to you guys gaslight yourselves. Did we do this? They've convinced you that Padres fans are the reason and Padres media is the reason that you guys are having a terrible part of the season. You guys need therapy.
Jen, it's funny. We do it as a bit because people are like, because we love the team. And what's not to love, right? Tatis and Manny and Cronenworth and all these great guys. And you're obviously disappointed.
Val, you stole him from me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Never trade
Still
with Tampa.
Still waiting for my jersey, guys.
Right.
waiting for my jersey.
And so, people are like, well, because we love him and we're excited about him. And then when it goes to crap, you're really bummed out. And they're like, well, you guys need to be harder on them. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's why the Jets win so much, because of that tough New York media. Oh, and the Knicks and all of the other teams, the Phillies, who have a really tough media, they're not going to make the playoffs. The Eagles are terrible, and on we go. So it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek when we blame ourselves, Jen.
We're the soft coast, though.
Obviously. But it was incredibly adorable that I was like, are they really blaming themselves?
And
I was like, man, I'm going to give them my therapist number as soon as we're done with this call.
With that, that is the voice of Jen Sturger, who is back with us here on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. And I got a show in town. We're certainly going to ask you about that. But since you did mention you are a Rays fan, I wanted to get your perspective on the fallout from the Blake Snell trade, because it's the one area that we were talking about earlier, that Blake got off to a really slow start, then started pitching really well, got hurt at the end of the season. But with the one thing you're worried about, why were the Rays willing to trade Blake Snell? What was kind of your feeling when that trade happened, and now looking at it almost a year later in terms of, Patino and the prospects that the Rays got in that deal? How are you feeling about it now?
Honestly, when I look at sometimes when the Rays get rid of players, I've always, as a Rays fan, fought sometimes we sold too early on certain players, where we tapped out too early. But honestly, I think it had a lot to do with the players' individual happiness. And let's face it, after what happened last year in the World Series, can we really say that Blake Snell was going to be happy coming back to the Rays and having to face the guy that pulled him? I, as a fan, was screaming in the living room, and it wasn't just because Cody and I had lost our radio show, because that happened too, right around the same time. And I'm like, it's cool, guys. The one time I could really talk about being happy about things going on in my sports life, you guys take away my show. It's fine. I'm still getting over it. That happens as well, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. So, yeah, I think sometimes in Tampa we just had a tendency to tap out on players a little bit too soon, but it was because that player just wasn't going to be happy there anymore. And I do think that the Rays office makes the right choices when those kind of things happen. Even if we as Rays fans don't see at the moment why it's being done, because trust me, when that happened, I was on the phone with you guys being like, if you don't get me a Padres Snell jersey, I'm going to be so mad at you guys. Because I was truly mad to be missing such a huge piece for us, but, you know, I wish he could have done a little bit more for you at the beginning of the season, but he started to find his way, and obviously he was the nail in your coffin when he got injured, so... Next year?
Yeah, next year. It's pretty classic and standard around here.
Window opens next year.
Next year. I'm looking forward to that. We're talking to Jen Sturger. I'm so interested in this comedy avenue that you've taken. And when did this start exactly?
Well, comedy's always... I've always been the kid that got written up as the kid that talked too much in class.
Sure.
Or the kid that would argue with the teachers because she thought she was smarter than the teachers, to the point where they were like, please just put your head on your desk and stop disturbing others. And I got into sports media, obviously, and I ended up getting my own show in New York, but it was supposed to be like a sports comedy hybrid before Sports Nation was a thing. And I remember the day the Suits came in and they were like, just kidding, now we're going to make it just a straight up late night sports show. And I literally raised my hand in the middle of this meeting and I was like, why am I here then?
Yeah.
Because that's just not what I do.
Same.
Like, I talk about sports from an irreverent standpoint, like as a fan who's just super passionate. Like Bill Simmons with boobs. Like, that's what I always wanted to be, you know?
Well, we're Ben and Woods with boobs. It's fine. I mean, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's like just different.
Unintentionally.
You know what I mean? So I always wanted to be that, you know? And so.
But stand up is so different. It's so like, it's the most scared I've ever been in my life. There's nothing. There's no bigger rush when it's over, and there's no bigger fear before you take the stage. It is such a weird I can get on a microphone, Jen, and have a ball and talk for 3 hours and just have a blast. Getting a microphone and doing 5 minutes, it seems like an eternity up there with jokes that you've written, and now you got to deliver them, and the crowd's looking, and maybe one of those jokes bombs. It's like the biggest. I realized after doing
chills
it.
Chills even thinking about.
Dude,
like,
what do you do?
When
a joke bombs, Jim, what's your reaction? How do you get kind of out of it to the next thing?
I just tell the crowd, "You're wrong. That was hilarious."
Yeah, it's you realize that you are on an island up there, and it's just the most terrifying thing.
But that's the problem is when you think of it as an island up there, that you're already in the wrong mindset.
Yeah,
because
true.
Like. I go through little splurts like that where I'll get in my head about things and I'll think that I'm doing poorly, or like I'm not getting the laughs that I'm supposed to be getting on stage. And that's when I'm like chasing results. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
If you're going up there and you're chasing a result versus being present, like the audience will always sense that. And so like I just try to remind myself like to not stay results driven and to just be there with the audience and be in the moment and enjoy what's happening up there. Because the truth is, I love doing it. I love making people laugh. I love attention. Like, I wasn't wearing bikinis in college because I thought I was hot. I just liked people looking at me. I was like, thank you for giving me the attention that I've always wanted.
Now,
my dad never did. So that's what I wanted, you know?
I have this vision of you at home working on jokes and Cody Decker, your husband, like, oh no, I got a really, really good one. Trust me, this will work. Does he, I feel like he thinks he could also, and he probably could, to be honest with you, do stand-up comedy. Does he stick his nose in helping you write jokes, or do you bounce ideas off of him?
Let's put it this way. He moved to El Paso because I wouldn't let him help me with my jokes.
And I know he wanted to. I know he did.
You know, we just have two completely different senses of humor. But if you ask him, I think he would even agree that I'm the funnier one out of the two of us. But it's just a different kind of comedy. When I look at the way he makes people laugh, I often feel like I'm in a Will Ferrell sketch that just won't end. Because he doesn't know. I'm like, yeah, the bit's over. The bit has been over. And he'll be like, there's still more bits after that. And I'm like, no, the bit was done. You hit the punchline two bits ago. Please stop this now. And eventually, like, you just have to walk out of the room. So it's just a different kind of comedy. I do a lot more writing. I do a lot more roast writing in particular, which is really handy in arguments, because you can end them real fast, and usually it ends with one of us storming out of the room, or me dropping a mic and walking out of the room. So that's the type of comedy that I do, is it's very, like, written. It's very planned, you know? And like I said, he's just a Will Ferrell sketch that just is, never ends.
Jen Sturger is with us. Jen, tell us about the show that you got here in San Diego. What's some details for the Tier 1 listeners out there?
We are going to be doing a show at, I say we, it's me and some lovely female comedian friends of mine are doing a show at the Comedy Store La Jolla this Wednesday. I'm super excited about it. I haven't been down in La Jolla, God, and like for comedy for myself in like, what, at least 4 years. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to get back on that stage. It's always a really good crowd there. So come out and see us. I'll put all the information on my Instagram stories. And you guys can just click the little link. I'll make it super easy for all of you guys. If you guys want to share the link also for your listeners, that'd be great.
We will.
But yeah, I would love to see you all out, just because we were doing stand-up comedy, you know, during the pandemic, and it was like Zoom shows, watching people put their kids to bed and fold their laundry. So it's really cool that you guys are out in clubs again. Please come out and support live comedy, because, I mean, that's the only reason comedians survived this pandemic, is we were just waiting for attention. So please come give it to us.
Well, Jen, good luck. Obviously, we support you 100%. Always love when you come on the show with us as well, and you're always welcome anytime.
Thanks. Let's not do it at 8 a.m. next time.
Well, you want to go earlier? We start a lot earlier.
No. Just the last spot.
We have like 50 minutes left.
Yeah, we're near the end here, not the beginning.
Let me know when you guys are doing afternoon drive time. Okay?
There you go. Jen Sturger our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall Chevrolet. Find new roads.
I will be honest. It is it's quite surreal to talk to Jen Sturger on the phone when I had, like most men in this country, absolutely ogled over her in those pictures when she was at Florida State. I mean, me, Brent Musburger, and pretty much every other dude, when those pictures came out, I was like, that's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And now she's on our airwaves and doing a comedy show in La Jolla. It's mind-boggling to me.
You know, she brought up the Will Ferrell sketch sense of comedy.
Yeah.
And I've always, it's always fascinates me, because he'll do a sketch, it'll be super funny for the first 2 minutes, and then they'll just keep repeating it, and it'll get less and less funny for like minutes 4 and 5, until it's really like not funny at all. But then they'll keep repeating it for another minute.
Then it's funny
and
again.
Suddenly it gets funny again at the end. How does that work?
It's uncomfortable comedy, dude. It's uncomfortable, and I am so not a fan. I'm not able to do it. When I see it start to like go too long, I just get panicked.
As if it's not challenging enough to do everything that we just talked about with Jen.
Right.
Get up on a stage, talk to people, make them laugh. As if that's not challenging enough, you're gonna ramp it up a little bit and then take the most challenging style of comedy.
Perfect example is the Norm McDonald
clip.
The roast.
Yes.
When they said, you're too spicy. And so he goes and gets a book from like the 1920s and goes up with cards and reads these jokes that are horrible.
To purposely be unfunny in order to be funny.
It's like, it's Andy Kaufman.
For like 5 or 6 minutes.
It's Andy Kaufman humor. It's Sacha Baron Cohen humor where you're like, stop, please stop, please stop, please stop, please stop. I'm begging you, stop, 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 stop. Please stop. Just tell a joke, tell a joke. And those guys, it's why that's a different breed altogether. It's just insane. So she's awesome. I mean, I have no doubts that she slays on stage. So go out and see her tomorrow at the Comedy Store. What a great venue to go do comedy at, too.
Always great to have her on the program. We got a Rhino Report coming up next, including the return of a big name in the NFL. We'll get to that after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With so many good sports-related podcasts out there, all asking Woods to be a guest, you need a little help finding some new ones? Then listen to Pod Sauce, a weekly podcast about podcasts. They'll help you discover the next thing you should be listening to. Recent guests have included Kenny Mayne, Trey Wingo. Check out Pod Sauce, available now on the Odyssey app.
You know, it's always one of my resolutions for every year is, hey, man, just do less. Say no more. And yet here we are in September. I'm like, yeah, sure. What do you need? You mean to umpire your kid's game? Got it. Whatever you need. I still have a major problem saying no.
I'm also not good at it. We can both work on that in 2022.
Yeah, don't ask. Just don't ask me because I'll probably say yes.
Yeah, well, no. Now everyone knows.
Yeah, so I know.
Get ready for a whole new slate of requests in the new year.
Yeah, it always happens.
We're not in the new year, though. We're not even to October yet, and my neighbors are already putting up their Halloween/Christmas decorations.
Oh, we had full-on Halloween trick-or-treating practice in my home last
night.
Practice?
Practice. Well, I mean, you practice like you want to play.
Well, so my son, Bo, it loves Halloween. Loves it. There are bones sprinkled around our yard now. So it's slowly a new piece added every day.
Did you have ribs last night?
there are just skeleton bones all around my yard. And he came in yesterday, was out with his Gaga, and he came home with a new costume, new Spider-Man costume, his ninth Spider-Man costume. And he's running around the house, and he has a bucket, and he's practicing trick-or-treat. Candy, trick-or-treat, fake candy in the bucket. Thank you. He runs away. Comes back 30 seconds later. Dada, trick-or-treat. I'm like, all right.
Feels like it would be more accurate to practice with real candy. That would more simulate the experience.
Absolutely not. A, I don't need it in my house because I'm very weak. And B, like, I don't need him sucking down candy a month in advance. So
learn how to pace and moderate himself. It's all part of the process here. So you want, like, a champion trick-or-treater. He's got to practice like a champion.
He's going to do 9 different costume iterations. Darth Vader was one. Now there's a Spider-Man. There's going to be 7. He's going to be like Liberace. There's going to be 9 different costume changes before he decides on one.
I would like to see Bo Woods as Liberace. That would be a great costume for him.
Liberace. Liberace would actually be a really, really good one.
All right, we got Jesse Agler coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, let's get some headlines. It is time for the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Reindel.
All right.
2 stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And 1 story that you didn't know you needed.
Here's a weird story. The headline is, woman claims she's married to Michael Jackson's ghost.
It's the Reindel Report.
Excuse me.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Guys, it's happening.
What?
All right. We will start off in the world of professional football. Got a big name coming back to the NFL. Josh Gordon has been reinstated, and he is set to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs, going to their practice squad for now. But the All-Pro is back after just a career full of missteps, suspensions.
It's been a bunch of weed stuff, right?
It really, yeah,
he's not a menace to society.
No, I mean,
sometimes he has some pause about giving guys second chance. I have no No qualms.
Hasn't he
Josh
just
Gordon
been like
another
somebody they've made an example out
substance
of?
Substance abuse.
Now,
yeah.
again, hey, man, if you want to play, don't do this, right? And he does it. And so I guess, yes, it falls on you, but it's also just weed.
It's not that big of a deal, but it's kind of a fool me once, fool me twice.
Fool me 14 times, right. But for the record, I love that dude. I'm so glad he's back.
To watch,
and I hope he does well.
He's got Patrick Mahomes thrown to him. That's not gonna hurt his chances.
It looks like they needed the help.
So Gordon was suspended indefinitely in December of 2019 for violations of the league's policy on substance abuse and performance-enhancing substances.
I didn't know that.
It was his sixth suspension since the 2013 season and fifth for some form of abuse substance. So, yeah, I mean,
all right.
Five different times, it's kind of like, all right, man, like, what are you doing?
But I mean, you hope
it's still not that bad.
Right, comparatively.
He may be
comparatively
in line for the biggest upgrade at quarterback receiver has ever had. His last team was the Zappers of the fan-controlled football league from earlier this year. I don't know exactly who the Zappers quarterback was, but I'm guessing not on the level of Patrick Mahomes.
The Zapper. I did not watch one.
I
had people DMing me. Dude, you
Johnny
should check
Mansell.
This out. This is really cool. I'm like, bro, enough. The Fleet. Remember Fleet guy?
That was a few levels above fan control football.
Fleet guy got so mad at us for not covering the Fleet. Who's the genius now? Okay. What, they make it 3 weeks?
Could you imagine if we had bought all in on the Fleet?
You're making me sick. Oh. We would have been devastated.
God. I'm getting like serious PTSD now. Thank you for that. I will stay in the NFL. Some big news from this morning that broke. Richard Sherman heading to Tampa Bay to work out for the Bucks.
They are the new island of misfit toys.
They really are.
They'll take anybody.
There had been speculation for a while.
Josh Norman Josh Gordon didn't end up there.
Right? Yeah. Antonio Brown went on the COVID IR list, and I actually totally would have expected that. But Sherman hasn't played all season. He's flying to Tampa Bay this morning to visit and work out with the Buccaneers. He's been talking to them for a few weeks now. He said he needs a week or two from the time that he signs until he'll be ready to play. But, I mean, all signs are pointing to Richard Sherman helping out the Bucs defense. They could absolutely use him. And, just give Brady another weapon, right?
Yep.
Who else is out there?
Who else is out there, Ben?
I don't know who else is out there, but Josh Gordon is not out there anymore.
And neither is
Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
Going to New England this week. Tom Brady says he knows what it smells like there.
Yeah. There's a video that went out.
For all the Tom Brady New England bits.
He did a sit down with ESPN, and they teased just a little clip of it for this weekend, and he was just like, oh, yeah, Sunday night in Foxborough, you kidding me? He's like, I know what the wind's going to do. I know what Belichick's going to tell them before the game. I know what their pregame schedule is going to be.
So you better win. If you have all this insider knowledge.
And no excuses.
You better win, Tom.
Finally, you guys remember our friend Joe Exotic?
He the Tiger King?
Yeah.
He's the Tiger King.
Oh, boy, I thought we were done.
No.
All Joe Exotic.
Isn't he in jail?
He's in jail, isn't he?
Tell all the hunters.
And see, that's not even him.
Lay down there.
It's another guy.
Yeah, he lip synced.
He lip synced this.
Tell I'm not the tiger.
Kill me. I do remember during the pandemic, I instructed the crew here, hey, let's all watch Tiger King. And then we'll report on it. We watched one episode, and we're like, I can't do this.
God, I watched the whole thing.
I made it one. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. No,
we were so desperate. So desperate.
Yeah, for content.
Now I understand.
So, what was the woman's name? Like her, the rival.
The cat lady.
Oh, God, I don't even remember her name.
I can't remember. Catherine?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Yeah, hey, you cool cats and kittens. So what's up with Tiger King?
So Tiger King is back.
Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin.
That's right.
Yes. Tiger King is back.
Great.
Netflix has announced that season 2 of Tiger King is going to premiere in November.
Live from the penitentiary, season 2. What the hell?
They don't let any tigers in the cell with them, I'm assuming.
What is going on?
You know, you cool cats and kittens.
So what's going on with it, Paul?
So it says in the second season, which it's, they're just calling it Tiger King 2.
Of course they are.
They revealed a trailer earlier last week. Just like many crew...
Flub alarm.
Yeah, I got it.
Problem is, I don't know what he was saying.
Crew crime shows.
Don't you put crew crimes in your salad sometimes?
They're saying it's going to have just as much mayhem and madness as the first season. It's still a little bit unclear what the season is going to be about.
Great.
But it did have some clips of Joe Exotic.
Super.
Who was the main focus of season 1. Yeah, he's in prison. So it's
I want
be
off the ride. I just want off. I want to move to a cabin away from everything.
It said they attracted 64 million households in the
that
first 4 weeks of March 2020.
And
like when I think of Tiger King, I just immediately... There are a few... like triggers that bring me right back to the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes,
this is one of them.
I don't want to.
It came out at just the perfect time.
Massive
for content.
Costco delivery orders. I think you know, Rudy Gobert. Remember all of that? I'm like, oh my god, it's March 2020.
I see Rudy Gobert and I start shaking uncontrollably. Yes.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Ugh. God.
So Tiger King, November 17th. Get ready.
Must miss.
That's our Rindle Report. We've got one last Incorporator Tuesday for you. Jesse Agler, putting a bow on whatever this season was, joins us coming up next with Ben and Wood, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Get ready for the Ben and Woods Open. It is coming Friday, November 5th at Encinitas Ranch. The Ben and Woods Open presented by Top Turf and Pavers. Women owned and operated. Entrust your family with ours. And by Computers to Kids, the national leader in bridging the digital divide. Sign-ups coming next month. Get your plans set, though, to join us on November 5th at Encinitas Ranch.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Cannot wait.
I was at one point worried that it might conflict with the Padres World Series parade. That date could be the day that they scheduled the parade.
That was an actual conversation.
Yep.
Is that going to be so? When? Let's just say Game 7. When is that?
When
is
would that?
That
would
too
be
close.
That November 1st, and then they win, and they come. Maybe if they're on the road, they come back, have a couple of days. They might schedule the parade for that Friday. So, that would be bad if we. No, we actually had that conversation.
So technically,
I feel a little foolish now.
Technically, we could do this tournament next Tuesday if we wanted to.
We could.
Whenever. Yeah, we could. So perfect.
We got Jesse Agler standing by. One more incorporator of the season. He will join us after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
He certainly looks locked in at the plate. The Untapped Beer Festival is coming to Petco Park on October 1st and 2nd. Enjoy unlimited beer samples, live music, and chat with brewers from the nation's favorite breweries. Get your tickets to join the fun at Padres.com.
That sounds kind of cool. Make your own.
It does indeed.
Get your hops, your isinglass, your barley, all of this stuff.
So slick.
Mix and match your flavors. Here's Frazier, left-hand hitter.
The Ben and Woods Open won't have things teed up as well as Tony did for Jesse on his Isinglass Incorporator word last week. Jesse, good morning. It is great to have you on as always.
Good morning, guys. It's my pleasure as always, and I'm sad that this is it for us.
Wasn't supposed to be it, obviously.
No, it was not.
Jesse.
I wanted some playoff Incorporator, and now we won't get it. I'm really bummed.
It's let me get your feelings on this because, you know, baseball's a complicated game. Things look like they're going well, then they're not. Doesn't mean that things won't go well for the Padres next season, but obviously they're going to have to make some changes and some evaluations. We don't know what's going to happen to Jace Tingler and his staff. Where do you kind of stand right now as we head into the final week of the season, evaluating kind of where things just went wrong this year?
It's not a short list. I think we all know that. And I don't know what the prime reason is, you know, if there was one overriding thing. You know, the injuries are obviously a place to start, but I think we all understand it goes beyond that. And it did go beyond that at times this year. Some of it is chicken and egg. Some of it is like, you know, how did they go 19-19 collectively against Arizona and Colorado? That kind of stuff. Like there's so much you can kind of pick at. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's we've all watched every game. We've all seen it. It really seems like you could break it down, I guess, for me at the end of the day into like different segments. And there was a period of time early in the year when the starting rotation wasn't carrying the load. Then there was a period of time when the offense wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. Then there was a period of time when the rotation was hit by injuries. Then there was a period of time when the bullpen started to waver a little bit. And of course they started to waver a little bit because they had been kind of used and abused as much as they were earlier on in the season. You know, again, it's not one thing, and, you know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and all of a sudden things can snowball. I think that's an interesting conversation to have because we all say there's no momentum in baseball. And in essence, there isn't, right? Because the whole cliche about the next day's starting pitcher is absolutely true. And you could be on a great roll, but if you got Max Scherzer against you tomorrow, that roll could stop very, very quickly. But if you zoom out a little bit, I do think there are things, both positive and negative, that sort of build upon each other and sort of create something of a snowball effect. So whether you want to call that a momentum or not is up to you. But I do think there's some of that happened this year in a negative way. And look, as for changes, even if they won the World Series, there were going to be changes. Obviously, different kinds of changes, a different number of changes. Every offseason, you know, presents an opportunity to pivot this way and that. And it'll be fascinating to see what they do because here's the reality, guys. If you and I were all talking, you know, late September last year, Yu Darvish wasn't anything on our mind. Blake Snell wasn't anything on our mind. So, I mean, who knows what ends up happening? We'll see.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing. And to watch it, though, the last, you know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, and watch them just kind of crumble at the end, Jesse, and kind of knowing what you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier, and I don't... I've always been a guy that's going to, I hate to say blame, but I'm going to put more responsibility on the guys that are on the field, you know, the execution. Yeah. And were there moves, you watched every game, my friend, and were there moves that you scratched your head at by Jace Tingler and the coaching staff? Sure, absolutely. It's going to happen in every season. Percentage-wise, just kind of off the top of your head, though, did you feel like the players, trying to think of the best way to put this. Did you feel like Jace Tingler got outmanaged a lot? Or did you feel like, man, the players missed an opportunity? You know, I kind of went back to that very first Dodger game we played. And how many chances did we have to win that game? You know, all we needed was a lazy fly ball. Couldn't get it done. We ended up losing that game. Long, late game in extra innings. Did you feel like it was kind of more players going cold at the wrong time this year? Or did you put it mostly on the manager?
I'm with you in that I always put it more on the players in really any sport, but especially in baseball, I think. They're the ones that are actually having to do this stuff. The manager cannot walk out onto the field and get that runner home from third base with less than two outs. Like everybody knows that's what needs to happen. Now, of course, it's very difficult to do that because the opposing pitcher knows that's what needs to happen, and he's also very talented. For me, it's like I'm a player's guy. They're the ones who get the credit. They're the ones, you know, who are the ones out there executing. Now, all of that being said, and I'm sure Jace and every other manager in baseball understands this, while that is true, what is also true is that at the end of the day, the manager is the one overall responsible for that kind of stuff. And that's sort of like the deal with the devil that a manager makes.
Yeah, true.
Is that I think like the responsibility is the players, literally, but actually at the end of the day, it isn't. Because they can't get rid of an entire team of players. Like, that's not how it works. They, you know, teams can get rid of managers. And so, again, I think that's something they all know going into a season is that, you know, if these guys don't perform, it's not necessarily going to be because of something I did or didn't do, but I am going to be responsible for it at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and
the
again,
buck stops
I can't
here.
Imagine there's – exactly. That's what it comes down to. And they all know that. They all know that.
Somebody tweeted earlier, they said, so you're on a boat. And you hit a sandbar or an iceberg, do you blame the captain or do you blame the guy in the crow's nest? And it's been spinning me out for about the last 3 hours as I'm going,
whoa.
I'm like,
I blame the boat.
Who is steering the boat? And so I this guy tweeted that. I went,
I blame the media.
Yeah, it's the media's fault. The media was not hard enough on those guys. I really don't know. I've been thinking about that question, Jesse, for the last 3 hours. He tweeted it like 6:05. And I've been thinking about it ever since. Do you blame the captain of the ship, or do you blame the guy in the crow's nest? And
who's supposed to help the captain?
Who's supposed to help the captain? I don't know.
There's a lot of brilliance to that, and it goes beyond that. And again, forget the Padres for a second. We're talking generally about chains of command and responsibility and all that kind of stuff. What about the guy who hired the captain? What about the guy who owns the boat? I mean, like you could unspin this and go on and on and on with it. But you know, stuff generally rolls downhill to a certain extent. But again, I guess the way I see it is everybody involved, everybody on the inside, they know that stuff. Nobody goes in blind to those realities. And whether it's Jace or AJ or a player, I think, they all get what's going on, what has happened, and what may end up happening.
Talking to Jesse Agler. Jesse, let me shift to something a little more positive. We all in this community gush over Fernando Tatis Jr., and rightfully so. I don't know if he'll win the MVP. The odds makers have him slight underdog to Bryce Harper right now, but there's still a week left to maybe change that. But do we gush enough? I mean, 22 years old. Most guys aren't even to the big leagues yet. He played through pain, shoulder injury, COVID, missed a ton of time, and has still put together really a season for the ages. Do we give him enough credit for all of that?
I mean, we do. I mean, I don't know about like the baseball world at large, but there isn't a day that I'm at the ballpark and that he's in the lineup that I'm not like appreciative of it. And, you know, it's funny because like Ted and I have had many conversations over the years, and he used to say on the air, and then even more, we talk about it off the air about like what a privilege he felt it was to watch Tony Gwynn take four at bats every day for as many years as he did. And that he had that front row seat to it, and that he got to watch, you know, the genius at work, so to speak. And I feel that way about Fernando. I really do. And I think the fans do here too. I think there's a great appreciation for him. I think everybody understands what's going on and how special he is. The fact that he's now locked up long-term contractually makes it even easier to love him, because you don't have that old Padres thing hanging over your head that, well, what's going to happen when the Yankees come knocking in free agency? Like, we don't have to worry about that. So I'm there every night at the ballpark. I'm on the road a little bit now, and you see so many number 23 jerseys. I'll be honest, guys. I got here in 2014. That was my first season. And for most of the time that I have been here, when you looked out into the crowd of Padre fans, whether it was in Peoria, San Diego, or on the road somewhere, and you looked at the T-shirts and the jerseys, they were mostly numbers 19 and 51. You know, there wasn't a lot of active, you know, players who were having their uniforms worn. And that has changed in a very dramatic way right now. And that's obviously a positive thing. We appreciate, respect, honor, love the legacies of Tony and Trevor. But now it's like the next generation, and you have 23 jerseys all over the place for Fernando. You have 13 jerseys all over the place for Manny. And that's great. You know, that shows that we are pointed in the right direction, and that the ship is hopefully avoiding the next sandbar that comes between us and where we're trying to get.
You know, the other thing we're going to be talking about, the majority of the offseason, they're going to get in a room and they're going to try to negotiate a new CBA. And which is going to be great. It's always fun to talk about labor disputes and whatnot. That being said, Jesse, as a guy that is tasked with, like us, but I can turn it off. I can go to sleep. I often have. I can leave the ballpark in the fourth inning and listen to you guys on the way home and watch the broadcast home. You're there. You're going to watch the games. What would you like to see baseball look like in 2022?
Good question, and Jesse's going to need a lot more time than we have for to answer, but do your best here, Jesse.
Yeah,
I'll be as quick as possible. I think one, pace of play is extraordinarily important. Pitch clock is probably the solution to that. I would like to see them get aggressive with it. I imagine the current players are not going to be all that into that idea, so it's not automatic, it's not easy to do, but I think it could be tremendously impactful and really do a lot of things, kind of trickle-down effect, to help the way the sport looks without really changing too much about it, you know, the structure of the game or anything like that. I would, and I would have never said this 2 years ago in my life,
buddy.
But like, I would like to see the designated hitter in the National League. I think it's insane that we don't. I would like to see I don't know that'll happen this go around. I'd like to see the schedule kind of reimagined a little bit, and they'll probably wait until they expand to 32 teams to do that. And at which point I would imagine there's going to be some dramatic realignment also. So that maybe comes in the next round of things to happen. But, you know, pace of play is a very, very real thing. It's not always a great brand of baseball from an entertainment standpoint right now. And it can be better. It doesn't mean we don't love the sport. It doesn't mean we don't think it's the greatest thing in the world. But it can be improved upon. And we've seen enough near four-hour games this year to understand that, I think.
The responsibility for the final incorporator word of the season falls on Stephen Woods, a ridiculous word that Jesse has to work into tonight's Padres-Dodgers broadcast. Woodsy, what's it going to be?
I don't know why this struck me as so funny, but it did. Paulie, if you would.
Karateka.
Karateka.
Not erotica. Karateka.
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 All right.
It is a it's a practitioner of karate.
I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yes, I don't
a
know.
A karateka.
I don't know why it made me. All I kept thinking of was Danny McBride.
As opposed to like a sensei, he's a karateka.
I all I kept thinking of was Danny McBride in Foot Fist Way. Karateka. A practitioner of karate. Now, Jace does jujitsu, so I am going to strike Jace Tingler mention from the.
He's not a karateka.
He's not a karateka. But I don't know why. Yeah. So the sentence that they used was this. These obi weren't the belts karateka and judoka wear today. Kano had not invented the judoji yet, and his students were still practicing in kimono.
Nice sentence, Woods.
They wrote it. I didn't say it. Karateka.
So is it a historic term, or it's still a modern term that we use?
I don't think anyone really cares.
I mean, you don't say a karate player or a karate person. Right. It's a karateka.
I had no idea it was called a karateka, and it just killed me to think about Jesse saying karateka for the very last
one.
I know. It's hysterical.
All right, Jesse, have a good
word.
It's a great word.
It is a great word. I didn't know that word. It's a great word. Jesse, have a good last week.
Thank you, buddy.
With Tony. We'll miss you in the offseason. We will catch up with you, of course. But thank you so much for joining us every Tuesday throughout the season.
Dude, and thanks for your great work, man. Yeah, it's just been a pleasure all season long. You are the best at what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, thank you guys for always having me on.
All right, karateka.
Jesse Agler, one last time, one last incorporator. A reason to tune in tonight.
Still just extremely spoiled in this town with the
plus
guys
a
Yu
Darvish start against the Dodgers. Yeah. I mean, I'll be watching. I was watching tennis last night. I'm pretty desperate. I miss the Padres when they're calling.
Sports junkie.
Pretty desperate watching Monday Night Football. They're already talking about which coaches could be first to go. Matt Nagy is under a ton of fire in Chicago.
The worst.
But
people are saying he actually wants to get fired at this point.
Let's not forget about Nick Sirianni. You know, they lost last night, looked terrible against a division rival. They got to play the Chiefs next week, who are obviously going to be ticked off after losing two straight close ones.
They didn't play very smart last night.
They did not play smart.
Well, isn't that supposed? That was supposed to be his thing, right?
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team. That we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that.
Right.
The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against, or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn.
Right.
Because when we can learn our system,
right,
and we can get good at our system, yes, then our talent can take over.
Correct.
Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
It's maybe the worst introductory. If you think the owner was like, I made a huge, huge mistake. It was. I remember when Jake,
Dan Campbell's was just
Dan Campbell's was way better than that. Remember when Jay said he's managed a lot of games in his mind and people lost their. It's worse though.
I'll say last night the Cowboys, it wasn't too complicated for them to figure out the Eagles were going to pass on every down. They ran like a 9% of their plays.
Or Jalen Hurts was going to tuck the ball and run. That's it. Oh my.
It did not go well for the Philadelphia Eagles last night on Monday Night Football, and now they're staring at the barrel of 1-3 with Chiefs coming to
town
next week.
Don't you practice that speech? Don't you read it to the missus and say, hey, will you Will you give me your honest feedback on
the teleprompter
this?
Broke or something? Oh,
he lost his
like.
Place
yeah.
in the paper or something. And then it's going to be really smart and good.
Oh, guess who we have on tomorrow on the program? Dick Ritchie himself.
Michael Rappaport.
Loved that role in True Romance.
Love it.
He's got a show coming. It's Comedy Week here.
Apparently
on Ben and Woods. Good show on a Tuesday. Great job by the executive producer, Paul Reindel. Padres baseball tonight for Woodsy. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan.